Neuroscience shows us that our brains don't know the difference between our imaginations and reality. It feels whatever it is that we're imagining. So if you're sitting at home watching all the doom and gloom, you're going to suffer. You're going to feel really, really bad if you start to dwell there.
Too many times as entrepreneurs ignore what's happening in the political world because we don't want to get dragged down into the mess. But more today than ever before, we need to have a voice. Otherwise, we're going to be left behind. I started Learn exactly for this reason. So starting today with Freedom Friday, let me be your voice. What's going on, you fighting entrepreneurs? This is Anik Singhal back with another episode of The Fighting Entrepreneur. It's Freedom Friday. That's right. We talk about a bunch of amazing topics here that aren't necessarily business building, but they seem to impact your business in some way or the other, right? Now, over the last few weeks, we've had a trend, and that is, you know, obviously we're talking about this crazy lockdown, quarantine, coronavirus, COVID-19, pandemic, epidemic, end of the world, I don't know, whatever, right? This is all we hear about right now. So I might as well talk about it. And I'm bringing to you people directly from the world that are experts in their fields that somehow relate back to this topic. And so today I want to talk about something that I don't think is being talked about nearly enough. And I have a feeling it's going to become a big problem. And I've kind of experienced my own version of this. Now, you know, on this podcast, I get pretty vulnerable with you. I'm pretty open. I talk about what is what. Coronavirus. Let's talk about this, right? The mental and the emotional and the spiritual impact of this thing on us, we probably still haven't seen it. I'll tell you what, there was a story it's my personal story. So I was in the hospital for months and I was really sick and I'd almost died. And during this time, so basically I survived the surgery, came out of it, they're releasing me. The nurse comes to me that day and she says, "You know what? You should be dead." And I was like, "Oh, that's a nice thing for a nurse to say to me." And she says that the only thing that helped me survive was my attitude and my the way I approached the whole problem. And I never forgot that moment. But here's a crazy thing. When I went home, I collapsed. So when I got released and I got home, I fell apart mentally, emotionally, spiritually. And I remember that in the hospital, I'm in the fight mode, right? Like I am in survival mode. I'm doing whatever I need to do. But then when that pressure releases, everything you've been burying under comes out. And I can't help but wonder if we're not going to walk into that right now with the coronavirus, but like billions of us all over the world. And that could be a little troubling. My personal experience. And so today I've got an amazing, amazing coach on. She literally has degrees and certifications, and this is what she does. She helps people perform better. She helps people have massive breakthroughs. I've already spoken to her before, and I'm telling you, I'm very impressed with her knowledge. She comes highly recommended from friends that I truly trust. And we're going to talk about the mind. She's the best person to talk about this to help equip you to set up some frameworks now to make sure you are good, and the stress and anxiety, things you may not be feeling, but that are happening deep down, recognize them and prepare for them. Here's what happened with me. When the coronavirus lockdown happened, I remember going, "Oh yeah, I was born for this." I was like, "I've been training for this my whole life. Let's go." I've been wanting to be locked in my house since the day I was born. And so I got my Xbox dusted off. I got, you know, my flying simulator set up, and I was like, "I'm gonna have so much time. I'm gonna be awesome. I'm gonna watch Netflix. I'm gonna do everything I tell people not to do. I'm gonna do it all because I'm gonna have so much time." I've done none of it. Okay. I've been working hard. But the first 2-3 weeks, I was losing my mind. I think it was the fact that I'm being told I cannot leave was driving me crazy. And all of a sudden I want to leave, which is nuts because I don't ever want to leave my house usually. And then I'm watching the news nonstop and I'm getting angry and I'm on Facebook and I'm picking fights. And then I had to delete Facebook from my phone for 3 days. But then that doesn't allow me to run my business and it becomes a problem. And then I was, you know, and my wife, cool as a cucumber. She's, you know, telling me to calm down, relax, like nothing's happening. And that's making me mad. I'm like, "Why aren't you taking this seriously? We should be running around in circles freaking out right now." I'm glad to say that was like the first couple of weeks and I like centered down after that. I'm good. But I still feel like there's things going on deeper down that maybe I'm not aware of. And I want to ask, Carla Royal today. And I might have said your name incorrectly. Actually, is it Royal or Royal?
Royal.
Royal. So Carla Royal, who we just recently became friends. She's going to come on today and she's going to explain to us what's going on. So Carla, first and foremost, tell me a little bit about your background. You've worked with some tremendous people and have them helped, you know, helped them have major breakthroughs. What got you into this line of work? How long have you been doing this? And, you know, tell us a little bit about yourself, please.
Well, I actually started, I became a psychotherapist, a licensed psychotherapist back in 1990. So it's been 30 years that I've been in this work. And I had gotten some therapy for myself because I was dealing with depression and anxiety primarily. And so when I was going through that process, it just blew me away. And I'm like, I want to do this. So I went and got my graduate degree and started doing that. And then I was a psychotherapist for about 15 years. And I sort of burned out because I felt like change was so hard and so painful and took so long. So I took a couple of years off and worked on a horse farm because I love horses. And it sort of brought me back to center and back to ground again. And then I decided I wanted to come back and not do therapy because I wanted to really help people. I feel like the difference between coaching and therapy, and you can't completely make a distinction, but that psychotherapy is about kind of going back and healing old wounds. And coaching is about where you are today and helping you move forward. So I decided I wanted to do that. And I contacted an old business coach of mine, and she helped me come to a new understanding that helps my clients actually get results faster, get relief faster than what I was doing as a psychotherapist. So I've been in the personal development field for 30 years now, and I love it.
That's amazing. And so by far the best person. And just so everyone knows, I put a calling out and I spoke to about 7 or 8 different people until I just felt when I talked to Carla that she was the right person. And I work that way. Sometimes, you know, credentials look great. Someone might be great, but then there's someone where you just say, there's something here. Can't explain it. And that's usually the best. So Carla, my question to you, can you reverse dissect what was going on with me? I told a personal story. I feel like a lot of people probably can relate. I've talked to a lot of people that can relate. At the time that we're filming this, and by the time this releases, I don't know, we're 2.5 months into this craziness. We've probably all gone through some different waves. Maybe you could talk a little bit about what you're seeing so that our listeners can feel, at least to some level, they're not crazy. There's some level of normalcy. But whatever I said to you, kind of my first few weeks, how I was functioning in this environment, was that normal? Was it me being crazy? Like, what was going on?
No, I don't think you're crazy. And I do think it's normal. I do think different people have different reactions. But I think all of us, you know, one of the ways I look at it is we're not just dealing with our individual selves. We're also dealing with the collective stress. We feel that energy. We feel it. So even if you're doing just fine in a way, you're still kind of carrying that collective stress. And so one of my mentors put it this way. She said, you know, you wake up every day in a pandemic with 30% less resources available to you because that 30% is just automatically going to the pandemic. And so you're right off the bat, you're starting your day not at 100%, you're starting your day at 70%. And of course, that's not necessarily the accurate number, but you get my drift. Mm-hmm. And then if you have anything else going on in your life, then you can take that number down. So, you know, first and foremost, it's an adjustment. We've never been through a pandemic. It's a huge deal. And so right off the bat, everybody, no matter how healthy or how well adjusted, everybody is having to adjust to something that they've never experienced before. And there is that feeling of lack of control, as you mentioned on it.
So it's lack of control. I think that was a big part of it. And then it's the unknown.
Yes.
The news. What is your take on that? I mean, there's a lot of thoughts out there about media and their contribution to this. It's hard to know. Is it really that bad? Is it not really that bad? Are they overblowing it up? What is your thought or opinion on the role that the media and the news and the TV plays in what's going on in our minds right now?
Well, I think true journalism is really important, and I think science is important. And then you have a lot of media who are all about, you know, getting the ratings. So we have to take that into consideration. I think the science shows that this is a serious deal. And I think, you know, that we have to take it seriously on some level. I don't, you know, for me, I frankly turn the news off because it is crazy making for me. And I can't live in a place of fear. I just choose not to live in a place of fear. So for me, you know, I check out the science things as best as I can. I get my little tiny fix and then I move on with my day and just put it aside and try to live my life as best I can. But I think you made a really good point, Anik, about the unknown. You know, the unknown, where that leaves us when we're out of our normal lives, where that leaves us is we start to really think about the future. We start to dwell on the future. How is this going to play out? You know, am I going to get sick? Am I going to die? Is somebody I love going to get sick, going to die? How is this going to impact me financially? Is my business going to go belly up? Maybe my business will grow. Who knows? But when we do that, when we start living in the imagination of our future, we're going to suffer. In all likelihood, if it's a stressful future that we're imagining, our brains, neuroscience shows us that our brains don't know the difference between our imaginations and reality. It feels whatever it is that we're imagining. So if you're sitting at home watching all the doom and gloom, you're going to suffer. You're going to feel really, really bad if you start to dwell there.
That's okay. Let's pull that thread. That's really interesting because now you're getting sciencey on me and I like it. So we watch the news and the news says death, 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 bodies being loaded into, you know, vans and trucks and conspiracies and doom and gloom and we're all going to die. You can't help but for a minute at least, right? You might not believe all of it, but you have to process like, oh man, that sucks. Like people died. Like that's sad. Unless you're a horrible human, you will process some emotion to that. And then they'll play the story, right? Of like the child or the mother or the wife talking about someone who died, like their loved ones. And that can't help but put you in a place of like, oh my God, that happened to me. Like I know I'm watching and there's a guy talking about his wife and I'm looking at mine and I'm like, how do I protect? And then I'll tell you exactly what happened is I smothered her after that, right? She goes out. I'm like literally running around with Lysol and everything after her too. And then we fight and she doesn't like that. But you're right. I love this idea that so you're saying that when we watch this, we process that fear, we immediately relay it into an imaginative state of what if this happened to us. As far as our brain's concerned, chemically, it's happening to us. That's what the brain thinks. It doesn't know the difference between what could be and what is.
That's right. And we do have to process it. So I'm not saying like just completely turn it off and don't even look.
Yeah.
I am saying that when we live there, if you will, when we dwell there, then we're in trouble. Because what we're doing is we're living an imagined future again and again and again and again. So if something were to happen to your wife, you're living it 1,000 times in your mind. And what that's doing is depleting, you know, yourself in a way sort of chemically, and you don't have as many resources or as much clarity if it were to happen. So instead of living it once, if it were to happen, God forbid, you're living it 1,000 times, and that depletes your system and it leaves you really, really cloudy in your brain so that you can't be as resourceful in the moment when you need it. Does that make sense?
No, it makes perfect sense. And it can show why immersing yourself in these environments can be so poisonous only because you don't realize at the chemical level what impact you're creating on your brain. A lot of people will say, no, I'm fine. When I hear it from my friends, they're like, I'm not scared. I'm not worried. But then I know they're watching the news. I know they're watching the same things I'm watching. Is it them putting up a front? Is it possible that they don't even know that they're going through this stress and anxiety? Because I really want to talk about the stress and anxiety, because for me, I've seen stress and anxiety has a huge, huge, huge toll in my life. Forget the coronavirus, just generally. It impacts my physical health, impacts my mood, and impacts my ability to do everything. And now we're literally in a stressed environment. So if someone right now is listening and they're like, I feel fine. I'm not stressed. I don't seem to really be bothered by this coronavirus thing. Is it possible that there's a layer where they are and they're just not seeing it?
Well, I mean, that's a good question. I think that you actually can go through this without a tremendous amount of stress. And I think that is if you are absolutely living in the moment. So I personally feel perfectly fine when I'm living in the moment. Like, and what I mean by that is by living in the moment is like right now, here I am sitting with you, Anik. I'm fine. There's no problem right here in this particular moment, right? For me, right here, or for you in this particular moment. So when I can settle myself right here and right now, I'm just fine. Then I'm not experiencing the stress. Now I start to experience the stress when I start to project into the future about this virus. That's when I start to feel the stress. So I think that the people who are not feeling stressed, I think there are a couple of things that could be going on. One, they could just be really shut down and not aware. But I think there are people who can also, they know how to bring themselves back to the present moment again and again and again. And so they really are not living in the stress.
I really like that. And I think that's what I ended up doing, to be honest with you, without realizing that's what I was doing. So about 2 or 3 weeks into it, I realized that I was not a happy person. And I was being dragged. I felt like this. I felt like my arms are being like, I watch this show and then I'm like, oh, you know, down with this thought. And then I watch another show. I'm like, wait, no, down with your thought. Like, you know, so I just stopped and I got really, what I did is I immersed myself in my work and in things I was enjoying. And that forces me to be in the present, right? Because if I'm doing something, like right now I'm interviewing you, I would be horrible at this if I wasn't in the present, if I was off thinking about something different. And same for you, you would not give a good interview. And so by nature, I cut off other things. And I have noticed that the last month, month and a half, I've just been happier. I've been less concerned, less fearful, less worried. But it's because I'm just by default being present because I'm staying busy with something. So I feel like one of the tips there is, of course, like stop, you know, being free, get something to do, read a book, you know, get busy doing something because that will make you be in the present. So that's a really good tip. I really like that. Carla, there's a lot of people right now that are home that are furloughed or don't have their jobs, or maybe they're still getting paid, but they don't have work. Like they're, you know, how are you seeing with your clients and with people you're working with, how can someone process this right now? Like what do you suggest people do during the day right now so that they're not allowing themselves to fall into stress and anxiety of the environment?
Well, to your point, Anna, you made an excellent point. You have developed this amazing capability, a capability we all have, but you've actually practiced it so much that you know how to turn to it immediately, which is you could feel yourself kind of going down that stressful rabbit hole and you change the focus of your attention. And really it's, you could think about it as attention. Where is your attention right now? If my attention is on the bad news, I'm going to feel bad. If my attention is on the good news, I'm going to feel good. So we know that the brain has what's called a negativity bias. You know, and that back in the days of the saber-toothed tiger, that saved us, right? Because we needed to be hyper-vigilant. We needed to be constantly scanning our surroundings. But there are no saber-toothed tigers now. There is a pandemic. And we need to educate ourselves. We need to be aware. We need to practice best safety measures. But if we do that, then we can relax knowing that we've done all that we can do in our control. And other than that, then we need to carry on with our days. So it's about where you place your attention. So, for example, today I was on my walk, and I walk through this 108-acre park and forest, and there's a canal that runs along, and there are otters there often. I love to watch these otters play. Today my mind was thinking about work, thinking about this podcast, thinking about, you know, would I do a good job, thinking about all these kinds of things, and I walked the entire canal and never once looked for the otters. And I realized that. I woke up to that, if you will, and I'm like, I totally missed what I call the good, the true, and the beautiful because I was so preoccupied. So the idea is to bring our attention back to the good, the true, and the beautiful. It's always, always there. It's just our brain sometimes kind of takes over and wants to look for the negative because it gives us a sense of security. It gives us a sense, our brain loves to worry. Because it gives us a sense of control, because at least you're doing something, you're worrying. So to your point, it's about shifting your attention and being intentional about looking for the good, the true, and the beautiful. Much like when you buy a new car, all of a sudden you notice that car everywhere. So it's looking for the good, the true, and the beautiful, which is always there, but oftentimes we don't see it.
So, I really like that. I mean, so to break down what you said, first of all, knowing, you know, going back to the science of the mind and reminding yourself that when you worry about something or you imagine something positive or bad, your mind can't differentiate between reality and the imagination. So you are still putting yourself through the exact same reaction that you would be if it was really happening. So how many times do you want to live that environment? So now immersing yourself in the negative and immersing yourself in the constant exposure to the doom and gloom, you're living it again and again and again. And it makes perfect sense. That's why I was going crazy the first couple of weeks. I love the second part of what you said is, you know, choice of where you're putting your attention. And again, I subconsciously ended up doing this, didn't realize, but choice of where you put your attention will directly then impact what you said before, which is your present, being present. So if you could focus on what's now, that's so true. Right now, as far as I know, there's no coronavirus coming to get me. My house is fairly well quarantined. No one's been even in this room other than me. So right now I'm good. And right now I'm choosing to put my attention on that. And so it's saving me from all those negative emotions that create the stress and anxiety. And so that's really powerful. And especially what you said about us being attentive, right? So if we're really focused on something else, we're going to miss the things that we're supposed to be catching. So right now, for someone who's sitting with too much free time, they need to choose actively what they want to do with that time. I mean, I have a friend of mine who took on gardening. And definitely not my cup of tea, but they love it. And they're super excited. They wake up every morning excited and ready to go run to the garden to do gardening. And I feel like that, again, makes them have a positive outtake on what's happening. Carla, as people, how, okay. So in my case, right, like I have people around me that are super concerned, super stressed, super worried. And then I have the exact opposite. I found myself in the middle now. I was on the super concerned. Now I'm in the middle, but I also have people around me that are super unconcerned. Like they maybe even go as far as saying, this is a hoax. This is not real. Mm-hmm. And how in a family, people are trapped in a home, are going to have difference of opinions on this. You have individual people with their own beliefs. What do you suggest to your clients to process that? So let's say you've got someone who's like really worried about it and someone who's not worried about it. And they're married. Like, how do they process that? How do you manage that?
Well, you know, what you said is really true. Each of us is living in a separate reality. So you and I can have the same circumstance happen to us and we will experience it differently. So you line up 100 people with the same circumstance and they're going to experience it a little bit differently, sometimes extremely differently. So the first thing, you know, one of the things that really helps me when people disagree with me is I say to myself, if I believed what they believed, I would be saying and doing and feeling the exact same way. And there's something about that that gives me a tremendous amount of compassion for me and for them. You know, if I believed what they believe, I would be doing the same thing. So right there, because I know that we all live in separate realities. So I don't expect you to agree with my reality. I expect you perhaps to be respectful of my way. So for example, if you want to come visit me right now, I'm going to tell you, you can come visit me. I will leave the side gate open and you can come into the backyard and I will meet you 10 feet away, but you cannot come in my house right now. That's my boundary. You may have a different boundary. So it's about respect. And also if you have a situation, like you mentioned with a couple, you know, I teach my clients how to drop their expectations and how to create together agreements, because expectations never feel good. Never feels good to have them, never feels good to the other person. And so I teach people how to create agreements with one another and then tweak those agreements as they need to. So I don't know if that gives you any.
No, I love it. I want to dive deeper. Can you give an example? So expectations, agreements, I think I know where you're going with it, but give me an example that could maybe help someone exemplify it.
Okay, well, just one that comes to mind is a business situation. Let's say your boss comes to you and says, I expect you to have this on my desk by Friday. So Friday comes, and you've got all kinds of things going on that your boss doesn't know about. So Friday comes along, and you don't have it there. And the boss comes back and says, I expected this of you. I'm really mad at you now. And the guy is just like, well, you know, it was just too much. An agreement now is the boss comes to you and says, hey, I need this by Friday. Is that something you can do? And then the person can say, no, I can't, but or yes, I could if I could have, if you could assign someone to help me for the next 2 days, then I could get it done by Friday. Otherwise, I could get it done by Monday. Now you're entering into an agreement because an expectation, you know, never gives you the opportunity to really understand what's going on for the other person. Whereas when you set up agreements, you can, you know, it's clear now to the boss, oh, they really just can't do it. But if I want it by Friday, I could give them an extra person and they'll be able to have it on my desk. Or they might say Monday is fine. So then if you have a breakdown in the agreement, then you just know that there was something that wasn't communicated clearly enough and you need to go back and touch base with it and clearly communicate it. So couples can do the same thing with one another, you know, is create, rather than I expect you to wash the dishes every night. You know, hey, man, I'd like for you to wash the dishes. Can you do that? Well, I can do it twice a week, but I'm not going to do it every night. And then you negotiate sort of that agreement till it feels good to you both. And so it's co-created rather than something I say you must do.
You know, it's funny. It sounds to me like a open communication thing. It's just a conversation, but it's so true. An agreement, both parties agreed. There's buy-in. So what I'm hearing from you is first step. So we have difference of opinions, and we see Facebook is blowing up with people just choosing to argue. It's total expectation. There's no agreement at all on Facebook. It's like not the land of agreement because we have an expectation that everyone around us think the way that we think because we are right. So when we go to Facebook, you are very quickly reminded that that is not the case. So from your perspective, what I'm hearing is there's two steps to being able to navigate this in your personal life. Step number one is I took it away as put yourself in their shoes, right? So try to understand why they feel the way they feel rather than simply throwing them off the cliff, you know, and have some empathy to that. Like, okay, if I believed what they believe, I would be acting as such as well. Can help you kind of calm your frequency down a little bit. And then the second step of it is don't approach it as a contentious moment. Approach it at an opportunity for an agreement, knowing that you may not agree, but there could be a mutual ground. And I can very, very effectively speak in the coronavirus world like that. My wife and I actually did have that agreement. We have, you know, we have an understanding of when her take on it and my take on it, and there's a happy middle ground that keeps the both of us happy, right? So it's like if we go out and we come home, I have requested certain protocols be followed, which I know for a fact she thinks are overkill, but she understands that that's important to me. So we just reached this agreement, and got to be honest with you, everybody, there was no fight. It was a request. It was this is important to me. Would you please do this? And she said, okay, this is not that important to me that I'm going to fight on it. So no problem. I'll make this happen. So I really like that. Reaching an agreement, everybody, and try to do this with people. You know, don't go around on Facebook trying to do this with everybody because it's not worth it. At least the ones that are close to you, if you're, you know, having stress and anxiety or fighting about this current situation, approach that way. Carla, are you at all worried about as we open back up and people reemerge into the real world, are we carrying stress and anxiety with us that we should be expecting to come out? Is there like a little hidden monster inside of us that's going to come out that we should just be preparing for?
Well, I don't know. I don't know about that. I think that there will be people who it does come. I mean, to your point, I remember in college, I could get through every quarter, and every time I came home after the quarter was over, I'd get sick. Yeah. You know, I would just let down. And I think that that's just part of how our body sort of takes care of us. It does what it has to do, and then it crashes for a while, and so that we have to take time for it to heal. So there may be some of that that goes on. I don't know how it's going to go. You know, I don't know how this is going to play out. I don't know if we're going to have another spike. I suspect so. And I think that that's going to be really frightening for people. I think we've just seen the first wave. That's my guess and just what I've been reading. But so I think it will be interesting. I think the more that people can practice mindfulness is scientifically proven to be helpful. Mindfulness is just about staying in the present. I love the two words you chose when you were talking about your wife and your agreement. You chose understanding. We had an understanding. So you entered into each other's world enough that you came to a place of understanding. And then you made requests. I love that. So you made a request, and then together you co-created this agreement that neither of you would do it exactly this way on your own, but you understand that you're not an individual, really. We're not individuals, really. You know, there is no other, if you will.
I could tell you, I didn't, that was not something I created from day one. I made every mistake in the book until I realized that was the appropriate approach to handle those situations. But I've been able to take that approach now and deploy it with everyone in my life, friends, colleagues, coworkers, people who work for me, business partners. And I've just found it to be such a better way to approach situations, whether it be pandemic or not. This has been really helpful, Carla. Thank you very much. I think you've really provided some core aha moments. At least for me, there's things I've been doing. I didn't realize that there was a structure around it. I love the fact that you said, you know, choose what you put your attention on. I love the idea of agreements. I think a lot of us right now are having a lot of arguments and issues, and we're picking battles and fights, and we're getting all worked up about it. Please pick agreements. The other thing is stay very focused and attentive to your choice of attention, because your brain doesn't know the difference between imagination and reality. So whatever you are imagining or allowing, or other allowing others to imagine for you, which is the media, you're allowing the media to imagine it for you, then you're creating your own reality. So this is, you get to make choices about how you spend your time. Carla, I feel like there's going to be a lot of people listening right now that could really benefit from knowing more from you, learning more from you, reading your work, listening to you, even maybe becoming a client. If they want to learn more about how to work with you, could you please tell everybody here how to follow you and how to learn more about you?
Yes, thank you. My website is carlaroyal.com, and that's Carla with a C, and Royal with no E. A lot of people like to add an E for some reason. CarlaRoyal.com. And I do write a blog every couple of weeks, a blog post every couple of weeks. I do some inspirational videos that you can find on YouTube, regular short little 3 to 5 minute videos. And I would be delighted, Carla@CarlaRoyal.com is my email address. I'd be delighted to connect with anyone.
That's so kind of you. Thank you. She gave her an email address. So let's be respectful about that. I can tell you that there are people I know that work with her closely and love what they're doing. And so I've been very fortunate to connect with her, and I'm very excited about things that her and I could do in the future together. So I want everyone here to understand that you may not know everything that's going on inside of you, but there are things going on, and there are choices and things that you can make right now to actually come out of this entire pandemic a stronger, better, more powerful person. And I'm making that choice. I'm doing that. And you can too. There's no reason that this has to be doom and gloom. This can actually be bloom for a lot of us. I think this can be an amazing opportunity. Carla, thank you so much for being here. For all of you listening, make sure you click subscribe below on the YouTube channel. If you're on YouTube, make sure you hit the bell icon. Make sure you hit the thumbs up icon. If you're on iTunes, remember every week I take people who leave us great positive reviews on our podcast, and I pick winners to win cool stuff, including time and calls with me. So please make sure you do that. And as I always say, when life pushes you, stand straight, smile, and push it the heck back. Listen, fighting entrepreneurs, go out there, conquer the day. And remember, just because we're in a pandemic doesn't mean that you get to not keep driving towards your dreams. Carla, thank you so much. And thank you to all for listening. We'll see you on the next one.
Thanks for listening to The Fighting Entrepreneur with your host, Onyx Singhal.